Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 390, the stanzas 2 and 3. To thee I stretch my hands, let me not plead in vain. I wait as weary lands wait for refreshing rain. And what follows, Psalter 390, the stanzas 2 and 3. Thank you. the portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Ezekiel 37, the verses 1 through 14. First, the holy law of God. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord, thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, nor any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Ezekiel 37, the first 14 verses. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. And thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood upon their feet an exceeding great army. Then he said unto me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried, and our hope is lost. We are cut off for our parts. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. And ye shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. Then shall ye know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. Thus far the scripture reading. We hope to remember Mr. and Mrs. Andre and Henrietta de Kock, who hope to commemorate their 40th wedding anniversary at the end of this week. Let us try to ask the Lord for his indispensable blessing. Lord of the heavens and of the earth, when thou hast granted unto us and our children another Lord's Day, then we have so many reasons to acknowledge thy great and worthy name for all the blessings which thou so freely, so liberally, and also so undeservedly has poured upon us and our children in the week gone by, in the past night, and also in this morning, that we may arise and freely come up to thy courts. Then thou wast also granted refreshing showers upon the thirsty earth, The need still remains, but, O Lord, then thou wast still being mindful of us, and over against all thy goodness, all thy mercies, all thy patient long-suffering, then our sins, they are great and manifold, and not the least the sin of our unthankfulness, that we take thy common mercies as so for granted, and that we redeem not our time and not more exercised with the honor of thy great and worthy name, Lord. Then thou wast opened the heavens in the realm of nature with gentle showers. On this Lord's Day, then in a special way, we may meditate and commemorate not only a sprinkling, but a rich outpouring upon thy church of thy Holy Spirit, upon that church that was gathered in one accord with prayer and supplication, and where thou wast wrought so wonderfully. Oh, for thy church, as thou wast promised that by thy Spirit that thou would guide them in all truth, where they were filled with thy Spirit to receive more clarity and more light upon the work of a triune God concerning the salvation of sinners. Oh, a knowledge of the third person as the sealer of their salvation. Then thou wast poured out thy Spirit to grant that liberty to proclaim the unsearchable riches of Christ. Then thou wast granted special Pentecostal gifts, that they were given to speak in other tongues, such a freedom and such a boldness, and, O Lord, that preaching was greatly blessed. 3,000 sinners in the morning walking upon that broad way to destruction, and by the time the evening has come, they had set their face Zionwards and were traveling to eternal bliss. 3,000 enemies made friends, and, O Lord, it is written in thy holy word that thou art the same yesterday, today, and forever. Oh, we humbly ask thee, wilt thou do it in this day amongst us and our children, that sons and daughters may be born in Zion, and that thy children may be instructed and led further concerning the mysteries of salvation. O Lord, may in this day the kingdom of Satan, may it be diminished, may it be lessened, and thy kingdom increased, that by thy free and sovereign grace, by the loving and irresistible work of thy Holy Spirit, that sinners, that they may be wrought upon, all placed under the glorious banner, to become soldiers under the banner of Jesus Christ. Ah, Lord, it is written in the scriptures that 3,000 were convicted, uncovered to their sins, the sin that they have crucified the Savior, the Son of God. Ah, Lord, thou knowest how that each and every one has come up to thy courts. In this morning hour, may there have been beggars and sires, and perhaps even a soul so afraid that it is not for them, that it can no more, that their sins are too great. But, Lord, for that multitude, many of them undoubtedly have even cried out, crucify him, crucify him. Then they were wrought upon, they were convicted, but then that precious Savior was declared unto them who was come to save the chiefest of sinners. O Lord, may then in this day there be a large increase over the length and the breadth of the earth, that thy word may be blessed. In this week, it is a special week for our denomination, when the curatorium hopes to meet, and when there shall be those who have received in the test. Ah, Lord, grant a mouth to speak, ears to listen, and a heart to perceive. May the prayers be multiplied to that end. In the past week, thou hast gladdened our sister denomination in the Netherlands, that they were unable to accept 5 students to be enrolled in their theological school. May it be in thy favor and with thy blessing. We commend unto thee the families that have settled in a neighboring province, and thou knowest what has been planned. May it all prosper in thy hand and be carried upon the wings of prayer. We commend unto thee the persecuted church and the Jewish people. May the veil be removed, and wilt thou remember all mission work, also our mission field, thy servants, the team, the family that hopes to be sent out. Lord, we remember our province. Many ballots have already been cast, many in the day of tomorrow, and then they shall be tallied. May it be carried upon the wings of prayer, that thou yet showeth a little mercy, and that thou giveth our province not completely over to the foolishness of the human heart. O Lord, turn us. Remember the churches. Remember our community. May there be a returning to thy holy word. We commend unto thee all the special needs. Remember all the mourning ones. Thou knowest who they are. Wilt thou put underneath thy everlasting arms. Remember with the empty places, wilt thou comfort them, and that the callings may be sanctified. All our elderly ones, remember all under the physician's care, continual pain, weariness of the body, discouragement, those that stand in need of healing and strengthening, wilt thou grant a place at thy footstool, and may we be given to bear one another's burdens. Ah, Lord, than by renewal, then we may acknowledge thee that at the moment there are none in the hospital. That is also thy doing. May we be given to see also thy hand therein. We now humbly ask thee for thy gracious help. Grant thy Holy Spirit in speaking and in listening, and that thy word may go forth with power divine, that it may be an unforgettable service, than it would be an unforgettable Pentecost, ah, Lord. There are still those that are written in the book of the Lamb that must and shall be brought forth. And it is written in thy word that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. May then the outgoing of this service be for the coming of thy kingdom and the glory of thy name. We ask it in the pardoning of all of our sins in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalter 141, the four stanzas. A gracious God, my heart renew, make my spirit right and true. Cast me not away from thee, let thy spirit dwell in me. Thy salvation's joy impart, steadfast make my willing heart. And what follows? The extra collection today is for the mission. Psalter 141, the four stanzas. in this morning hour, with the help of the Lord, we wish to ask your attention for our text words, which you can find in Ezekiel 37, the verses 3, 4, and 5. And he said unto me, a son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. Our text words speak of the prophet Ezekiel's vision of the dry bones in the valley, with four thoughts. In the first place, who was a sent son of man? Secondly, who beheld a solemn sight? Thirdly, who received a weighty mandate? And fourthly, who witnessed an unfathomable wonder? The prophet Ezekiel's vision of the dry bones in the valley, as sent son of man, as solemn sight, a weighty mandate, and an unfathomable wonder. Thus first, who was a sent son of man? Beloved congregation, the Lord has granted by renewal that we may commemorate the rich and the glorious outpouring of the Holy Spirit, where the church was filled with the Holy Spirit, and where the apostles received such a liberty and freedom to proclaim the full counsel of God, and where that preaching was blessed, that on that day that 3,000 sinners were converted by God unto God. The Lord has used the means, because we read in Romans 10 verse 17, that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And in the verses 14 and 15, how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? In our chapter, then the prophet Ezekiel has seen a wonderful, an astonishing vision. Then this vision, in the first place, then it refers to the children of Israel in captivity in Babylon and at the Lord's time, that they would be set free. In the second place, because we read in chapter 36 and 37, that it speaks four times of the Spirit, thus a beautiful vision of the quickening of dead sinners, and that they may be brought to a saving knowledge of the dear Son of God, And in the third place, a prophecy, also referring to the New Testament, which would be fulfilled in that Pentecostal church when many dry bones, when they would be preached to, and when they would be quickened by sovereign, free, and irresistible grace. And now concerning our first point, and then there is need in our denomination, the Lord's servants who are becoming old and that are becoming frail. And to that end, I read in Matthew 9, the verses 36, 37, and 38, that Christ has spoken of these things, that he had compassion upon the multitudes, and that he was given to see Israel as sheep without a shepherd. And then he has also spoken of a harvest that was great, that needed to be harvested, but the labors were few. And to that end, then he has instructed the church that the Lord of the harvest, that he may give more labors for the harvest. And now in our chapter, then we have such a labor. He is called the Son of Man 95 times in this book. Thus not an angel, but a sinful Son of Man. And also for Ezekiel, it is one so different than he thought. He was of the priesthood, an expectation that at a certain time, when he was 30 years old, that he would become a full officiating priest, although it is implied in the scriptures that already before that time, they have made a little beginning, thus to be a priest in the temple of Jerusalem. But what is now taking place with the prophet Ezekiel, the Lord's ways, they were so different than his ways, because in the year 592-97, before the birth of Christ, then Nebuchadnezzar has come, has taken King Jehoiakim and 10,000 people, many tradespeople, and also Ezekiel was taken to that far away Babylon as a captive. Then all his expectations concerning that priesthood at the moment have come to an end. Then we read in the first chapter that in the fifth year of his captivity, when he was 30 years old, that the Lord has called him to be a prophet, to preach to the captives that were in Babylon. Thus the Lord, boys and girls, the Lord in his goodness, a prophet in Jerusalem, in Judea, that was the prophet Jeremiah. Among the captives, there would be the prophet Ezekiel. And in the palace of King Nebuchadnezzar, there was Daniel. And now the Son of Man, converted, called, and sent into the vineyard of the Lord. Because in Ezekiel 2 and Ezekiel 3, then we read several times that there is spoken of that sending. And now Ezekiel before he was given to preach. And then he has experienced profound things. We read thereof in chapter 1 that he was given to see a whirlwind from the north, the judgments of the Lord. We read in his vision that he was given to behold the living creatures. He was given to see something of the glory of the reign of a triune God. And then he was given to behold all those wheels, wheels within wheels, the wonderful and mysterious providence of the Lord. And then we read he was given to see a throne, and one that sat on the throne, that was the second person in the divine Trinity with a rainbow upon him. And then we read that he has fallen on his face. Humility, bewonderment. Thus Ezekiel, before he was sent to preach, then he has learned profound matters. The majesty and the glory exercised with the attributes of the Lord. And then in chapter 2, then we read that he has received a profound message, that he had to go to preach to a people. We read different times in chapter 2 and chapter 3. We read it 9 times. A rebellious house. And in verse 7, a most rebellious house. Then the Lord has given him a roll to eat. And it is written that roll was sweet. That is the sweetness to be exercised with the things of the Lord. But then it was bitter in his belly, because in that roll, we read in chapter 2, verse 10, written therein, lamentations and mourning and woe. Thus Ezekiel, before he was sent to preach, he has learned and experienced very profound things. And what else? Then it is specifically mentioned that the prophet in chapter 3, verse 15, that for 7 days he is sat among the captives by that river Kibar. It is especially mentioned that he sat where they sat. Thus Ezekiel has experienced the trials, the difficulties, the mysterious providences that people has experienced. He has sat where they sat. He knew it, what it was to be done. But at the appointed time, then he was sent to that people, to those captives, to proclaim, to speak of the things of the Lord. And now the book of Ezekiel, we can divide it into two portions. The first portion, up until chapter 33, verse 21, then Ezekiel was given to speak to those captives, but the city of Jerusalem was still standing. And then those captives, they had a hope that Nebuchadnezzar could be defeated and that they could soon return to Jerusalem. But now the prophet Ezekiel was to tell them, captives, because of our sins and because there is no repentance, all those captives, they want to return to Jerusalem. But they have not returned to their God. Oh, it is true. The Lord always has a remnant that is given to fear the Lord, and that is sorrowful condition concerning the condition of the church of God. But now the prophet Ezekiel was busy, instructions from above sent to take away those false hopes that they would not return. What is our hope, congregation? What is our hope? And the hope for eternity. Then we need that Pentecostal spirit. All other hopes, they need to be uncovered. They need to be disturbed. We need to become a sinner. Because also in those prophecies, even in this chapter at the end, there is spoken of the servant David that would come in the fullness of time. But now in chapter 33, verse 21, then we read of very profound matters. And it came to pass in the 12th year of our captivity, in the 10th month, in the 5th day of the month. Are there also those times in our life that are unforgettable, congregation? Of course. Oh, us mourning families and other difficulties. But concerning now spiritual life, are there now those times that are unforgettable? And then we read that one that had escaped out of Jerusalem came unto me saying, the city is smitten. What a message for those captives. Jerusalem, the temple burnt. Many more captives would come to Babylon to join them at the river Kibar. And then Ezekiel was sent with a different message, because that people, when they heard that message, it seemed like all their hopes have come to an end. And we read thereof in the application, because in verse 11, then he said unto the Son of Man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried, and our hope is lost. We are cut off for our parts. And then the prophet Ezekiel, he was to preach freedom, the gospel, that the Lord has promised that at the appointed time that they could return to Jerusalem. Oh, on the day of Pentecost, when the Lord has done such a wonderful work, what an uncovering preaching the apostles have preached, that they have crucified the Lord of glory, the Savior, and that he was resurrected, that he has become Lord and Christ. Men and brethren, what shall we do? And then they received the freedom to preach that there was a way to be saved through the beloved Son of God. Our second thought, who beheld a solemn sight. Then you must go with the prophet, boys and girls. Then in a vision, in a trance, then as it were, then he was picked up, and he was placed in a very large valley. And there he has beheld profound things. Because in that valley, we read it was full of very many bones, and they were very dry. So we can try to picture it. Does not say skeletons, but bones. bones of little children, bones of young people, bones of older people. They're a skull, they're an arm, they're a leg. Spread over that whole valley. What a profound sight it was for the prophet to behold those dry bones. And now, that is now a picture of mankind lost. First place, also a picture of those captives, as it were. Then the enemy is birds of prey. They have taken everything away. They were scattered. Families separated. They were very dry. They were in the furnace of affliction. Thus, in the first place, in the context, a picture of the children of Israel in captivity. But what a picture of mankind lost. Have you learned it, people? When the Lord works, then we have trouble with that bareness and the dryness. Oh, it is true, when the Lord comes over, then the church may be given to rejoice with joy unspeakable. But they are so dependent, and they learn it more and more, how dependent they are upon the immediate influence of the Holy Spirit. And now when we picture that large valley of dry bones, this specifically mentioned, very many and very dry, and then it is repeated each time, these bones. Thus, that is now a picture of mankind lost. It is true. Can be an earthquake, and then those bones are also given to shake and tremble. But when the earthquake is past, then those bones are still lying still. It can be in that valley that there is a great windstorm, and that those bones, they move somewhat. But when the wind dies down, then they are still those still, dry bones in that valley. So it can be in the way of providence that there is yet some turning, can be a change from the world to the church. But still dead, dry bones. Thus those bones, no life, no moisture, no appetite, no desire, no hearing, no seeing. Dead, dry bones. What a solemn sight it was for the prophet Ezekiel to behold. Have you learned it, congregation? Ephesians 2 verse 1. Dead in sins and trespasses. And now, to make those bones live, then the Lord would use means. He would use the prophet Ezekiel as a preacher, and then he would preach to those very many and very dry bones. And upon that preaching, then wonderful things would take place. But before that preaching, before that command, then the Lord had a special question for the prophet Ezekiel. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? That is our third thought. Let us first sing. Psalter 194, the stanzas 1, 4, 5, and 6. His wide dominion shall extend from sea to utmost sea, and unto earth's remotest bounds his peaceful rule shall be. And what follows? Psalter 194, the stanzas 1, 4, 5, and 6. The prophet Ezekiel's vision of the dry bones in the valley who was a sent Son of Man, who beheld a solemn sight, and thirdly, who received a weighty mandate. But before he received that mandate, then he received the question from the Lord, a Son of Man, can these bones live? That is also a question for us, congregation. What is now your answer, congregation? Boys and girls, young people and older ones, can these dry bones live? That's actually the question is, boys and girls, can I now be converted? And what is now your answer? Concerning dry bones, our lost condition, our answer shall determine how diligent that we are in using the means of grace. We read in verse 11 of the discouragement of the captives, that they thought in Babylon, such a large army, a mighty kingdom, impossible that we can ever return. So what are your thoughts about that question? Can these bones live? Can I now be converted? Because if we become too discouraged, think it's not possible, then we shall not see the purpose in praying, opening the Bible so diligently. And therefore, it is a very important question. And that question was asked now when the prophet was given to see that very large valley with those many and very dry dead bones. Son of Man, can these bones live? Then from the answer that the prophet has given, then Ezekiel has expressed his ignorance. Oh, I think if we had now asked the prophet, when he began to prophesy, then his answer would have been different. Then the prophet thought, under these solemn circumstances, that these people are in captivity, a faraway land, when they have experienced the displeasure of the Lord, when the Lord has spoken in such a special way, if I now tell those captives with a heart full of love and even with tears, the vision that I have seen of that majestic and almighty God, if I tell them what a terrible thing it is to sin against the Lord, to disobey his commandments, when I tell that people of the wonderful promises in God's word, oh, when I preach to them with love, with solemnity, with tears, then surely that people shall live, and then they shall listen. Then they shall turn unto the Lord, and then they shall believe that preaching. But the prophet has experienced that the children of Israel, that they resembled those dead bones indeed. Therefore, a sighing prophet, Jeremiah, many times called the weeping prophet, Jeremiah 9, verse 1, Oh, that my head were waters, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughters of my people, were the prophets, where they were given to proclaim the Lord's judgments and the Lord's mercies. Thus in the beginning, oh, in his youthful zeal, then I think Ezekiel would have said, Lord, surely, if I preach unto them the whole counsel of God, then my fellow man, they cannot be so hard that they will not listen, but then they shall hearken unto thee, and then they shall be given to ask for thy ways and to cry for mercy. Son of man, can these bones live? Ah, then the prophet would reason it out. And in the way of unbelief, Lord, they are so dead and so dry, so many. From man's perspective, then it seems to be impossible, because those dry bones, they have no ears to hear, and has been experienced even under judgments, carrying away into captivity, even when the Lord sends COVID upon the earth among a people, when under the Lord's judgments, as he read in Psalm 76, that the whole earth lieth still, and yet without thy work, that those dead bones, they remain as dead as ever in the scorching sun. They are only becoming drier and deader. Son of man, can these bones live? Ah, then the prophet, it is implied, from man's side, Lord, so impossible can never be. Then the only hope, then the prophet has simply said, Lord, thou knowest, because it is written in thy word. Genesis 18, verse 14. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? Lord, thou art that almighty God. Oh, when the prophet was given to declare, Lord, thou knowest, then he was given to point to the Lord, who was infinite wise, who is so powerful, and who was promised the same. Lord, thou knowest. Ah, thou hast done such wonderful things in the past. A womb of Sarai, which was so dead, brought forth an Isaac. That people in Egyptian bondage, under those taskmasters, that have groaned unto thee, Lord, thou hast delivered them by thy stretched out arm, Lord. In the scriptures there are many examples that thou hast done wonders. Son of man, can these bones live? The day of Pentecost, Jerusalem with her hands dripping with blood, they have crucified the Savior, a city full of enmity. Son of man, can these bones live? Apostles, oh, preach unto them. Preach unto them the whole counsel of God. The Lord has promised in his word. Son of man, can these bones live? Ah, Lord, thou only hast to speak, and those bones, they shall begin to move. They shall begin to pray. They shall begin to cry, Son of Man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. And then the Lord has said again, he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. That you can picture it, boys and girls. That the prophet Ezekiel, in that large valley with those bones very many and very dry, that the Lord has said to the prophet, prophet, now preach to those bones. We would say a minister preaching in a cemetery to the dead. That is what the prophet was commanded to do. But upon a promise that upon that preaching that the Lord would bless those labors and that the Lord would do a great wonder that those bones that were so dead and so dry that they would begin to live. What the apostles have done on the day of Pentecost. Dead in sins and trespasses. What a task for the prophet. How discouraging it can be to preach to dead bones. But there is something yet more discouraging, congregation. Profound matter. To preach to dead bones, dry bones. But we must remember, concerning our deadness, that is not a passive deadness, but that is an active deadness. Because I read in Romans 8 verse 7, that the carnal mind is enmity against God. Thus the prophet Ezekiel, a difficult task. Oh, we needed to have his eyes upon the center that it would not be in vain. But I think even more discouraging and disappointing when you preach to people that would have both of their fingers in their ears. That would be quite something, boys and girls. When in church, there would be quite a few boys and girls, young people, and older ones that would sit during the church service with their fingers in their ears. That would even be more discouraging than what the prophet Ezekiel has done. Can make the application, congregation, of course not literally. But when we come to church, Sabbath day after Sabbath day, and we do not hearken and listen to the loving admonishments and the loving invitations, that we refuse to repent and turn from our sinful ways, how discouraging and disappointing that can be. But the Lord has promised that his word shall not return void unto him. And to that end, the prophet was commanded by the Lord to preach to those dead bones with the promise that dead bones, dead and dry bones, that they shall live upon that preaching. And that is the encouragement because those Ezekiels, they can become very sad and very discouraged. And then upon that preaching, then you can understand when the prophet Ezekiel was given to prophesy that he has looked at all those bones, little bones, bigger bones. He has looked very carefully with the hope that they would start to move and that they would start to tremble. And that is our forethought, who witnessed an unfathomable wonder. Let us also mention the text, which we read in Ezekiel 33, verse 32, concerning those captives. Then we read, "And lo, thou art unto them as a very lovely song of one that hath a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument. For they hear thy words, but they do them not." And now we read in this chapter the promise in verse 6, "Sinews upon you, flesh, cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord." And then we read, "In the way of obedience, so I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone." Then the prophet has seen astonishing things, that those bones, there was a shaking. Has that ever happened in your life, congregation? We read specifically of Saul in Acts 9 verse 6, when he was stopped on that way to Damascus, that trembling he has asked, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" When the Lord shows us our lost condition, how dry and dead we are, then we will do anything to be saved, whatever the Lord tells us. And not as a slave, but as a willing people. We read the same of that jailer in Acts 16, that trembling he has come to Paul and Silas, and then bone came to his bone. Then in beginning there is restored what we have lost in paradise, conversion, that is such a supernatural and such a wonderful work called the raising from the dead. And now further, "And I beheld," then you can picture it, boys and girls, the bones came together of a dead one, the skull there, the legs, arms, they were all put together, a skeleton, but a skeleton that is still dead. And then it was closed with nerves, with flesh, skin covered them from above, but yet there was no breath in them. Thus then we see the leadings of the Lord, the beginning, but also the necessity of the further leadings in the life of a child of God. And in the context, then it refers to that there would come a time that not only the captives may return, but that the Lord would also work with the Spirit among those returned captives, as is very evident in different books of the Bible concerning the captives when they have returned. Thus we can picture it, all for the prophet. Already that beginning, that is so special. When there may be those rustlings, when there may be those questions, when there may be those tears, when there may be those lamentations concerning that deadness, concerning their sin, concerning their guilt, a need for the further leadings, and then the prophet with what a delight, what an astonishment that he was given to behold in that valley, bones put together, covered with flesh and covered with skin. But they needed more, and to that end, the prophet has received further instruction. Prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, and thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon the slain, that they may live. And now to prophesy unto the wind, in the Bible, in both Hebrew and Greek, then the word for spirit, breath, and wind, that is the same word. Thus then it is necessary for Ezekiel not only to preach, but also to pray for the work of the Spirit. Of course, that beginning, that was already the work of the Spirit, but also for the continuance. How has it been in the past week, congregation? How has it been in the past week? Have you thought about Pentecost? That glorious outpouring of the Holy Spirit. When the apostles, the church, was led deeper concerning the work of a triune God. But also, were in that day 3,000 were added unto the church. Have you begged, Lord? Lord, may it now also be me. Oh, I have to confess, like those dry and dead bones, not those lively desires, but, ach, Lord, thou hast said in thy word that in thy church that thou art present in a special way. May I now also be included among that number, that on the coming Lord's Day may be thy time, that I may be wrought upon to experience the wonderful things of the Lord, to be saved by thy free and sovereign grace. And not only personally, our family circles, husband, wife, children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, friends, can multiply it out. We all need that one thing needful. And then the prophet has prayed, prophesy to the wind. The wind may come upon those where the Lord has begun. And then we read that it is mentioned in verse 10. As so I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. It's not one or two, or three, or four, or five, but an exceeding great army. The wonderful work of the Lord has been fulfilled on the day of Pentecost. An exceeding great army. It's 3,000. That is a large army. And soon, the church was added to, multiplied. Soon read of 5,000 and many more. The wonderful work of the Lord. To that end, the necessity that the prayers may be multiplied, we may be diligent in using the means of grace, and that we may humbly beg of the Lord of a very rich outpouring of His Holy Spirit upon young and old, as we read in the prophet Joel, chapter 2, verse 28 and 29, and it shall come to pass afterwards that your sons and daughters shall prophesy. That means boys and girls. That boys and girls and young people, they shall be given to speak much and be exercised with the things of the Lord, even little boys and little girls. And then we read that young men shall see visions. And in the Bible, we have heard of an Ezekiel that has seen a vision called to labor in the vineyard of the Lord. And also old men and women, that they shall dream dreams. And even those that exclude themselves, but a servant and a handmaiden, that the Lord will pour of His Spirit upon them. We even read of the prophecy in the book of Zechariah, chapter 8, the verses 4, 5, and 6, that there were old men, there shall be old men and old women in the streets of Jerusalem. They are old, they are leaning on their cane. Points to the righteousness of Christ. And what would they see? That in the streets of Jerusalem, they would see those boys and girls playing. In that first love, with that zeal, so busy with the things of the Lord, so exercised with their soul, and concerning the coming of God's kingdom, that there would be great multitudes. The prophet Ezekiel, in his vision, he has seen wonderful things. Congregation, may we be given, it is true. We need the Spirit to pray for the Spirit. That's what God's people learn. But we have a rational mind, and we have a tongue. And concerning these things, then we read thereof in the former chapter, in Ezekiel 36, verse 37 and 38, thus saith the Lord God, I will yet for this be inquired of by the house of Israel to do it for them. I will increase them with men like a flock, as the holy flock, as the flock of Jerusalem in her solemn feast, so shall the way cities be filled with flocks of men, and they shall know that I am the Lord granted unto us and our children. Amen. Our Lord, we have heard of wonderful and astonishing matters which the prophet Ezekiel has witnessed when he has prophesied. Then thou was granted in this morning yet a few words to speak. May it have been accompanied, and may it yet be accompanied with thy Holy Spirit, that there may be a shaking, that there may be a trembling, that there may be a praying, that there may be a begging for the wonderful things of the Lord, and that in the conversion of sinners, but we have also heard of the necessity of the further leadings and the life of thy people, wonder-doing God. Well, thou then manifest thy wonders, all grand special tokens of thy favor. And what greater token could thou grant than when it would be heard that on this day that sinners, even many sinners, could no longer continue to live as they were, but where their ears have been opened, where they have heard the words of the living God. Well, thou remember and bless us in this day. Keep us over the unsafe roads. Return us in this evening. Our pardon us of all of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Our closing Psalter, Psalter 238, the three stanzas. As Zion founded on the mountains, God thy Maker loves thee well. He has chosen thee most precious. He delights in thee to dwell. And what follows? The consistory wishes to announce the following, the Lord willing, the second wedding announcement of Marie Anker and Caitlin Christine Van Manen. The wedding service is scheduled for this Friday, June 2, at 10:30 a.m. Lawful objections may be brought to the attention of the consistory. And the banner of truth is at the exit, 238 to three stanzas. grace, save the blessing of the Lord, and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.